Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Today, the topic of our meditation is John the Baptist and his preaching. Now, last Sunday, we observed Epiphany, but it was the baptism of our Lord. That was the feast for the day. And since we skipped it, I wanted to go back because it's important for what happens in your gospel reading today. So the gospel reading for last Sunday, the baptism of our Lord, was from Matthew chapter 3. And John is out in the wilderness, and Matthew says, dressed in camel's hair with a leather belt, and he's eating bugs and honey. So, you know, he had to have it on him in his beard. And he looked a little rowdy, and he was preaching the law. Repent, he was saying. Repent, all of you, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. It's near. It's at hand. Get ready. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare your hearts, he would say. Repent and believe. Some of the Pharisees would come out to check him out. And you remember how he greeted them, you know, that welcoming, loving greeting. You brood of vipers, who warned you of the coming of the Christ? Who warned you? Repent and bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And John preached this over and over. Now there's an interesting thing that happens in your gospel reading, and that is that the Apostle John, as he's writing, records that John the Baptist did not know Jesus. Did you catch it? It happens twice. He did not know, and this is interesting because of what happens in the waters of Jesus' baptism. And also, it's interesting because John is Jesus' cousin. So what are you saying, John? Because John obviously knows his cousin, their family. This isn't 2023 where you don't actually know your cousins, right? So as Jesus is coming out to see John in the wilderness, preaching and baptizing, Jesus enters into the water, and John is taken aback. He says, no, it's me that needs to be baptized by you. Remember this? And so Jesus, through some encouragement, says that this has to be in order to fulfill all righteousness. And so John says, okay. And John baptizes Jesus, and Jesus is coming out of the water. And Matthew records that immediately the heavens open, and the Spirit descends and rests, remains on Jesus. And a voice speaks. The Father says, this is my beloved Son, and with whom I am well pleased. And in that moment, something happens for John and Israel. Now, in the text, John doesn't know Jesus. In other words, I think John doesn't know that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, the extent to who Jesus truly is. But it's in that moment when the Spirit descends and the voice proclaims, this is my Son, the Son of God. It's when the eyes of John are opened and the heart is enlivened and John knows. And in this moment, John's preaching changes. John's preaching changes. He changes from brood of vipers, repent and bear fruit, to what? To look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's in that moment the gospel snatches John. The good news of the Messiah is there, and it's enlivened within John, and all he does for the rest of his ministry is point to Jesus and preach these words. He moves from prepare your hearts, repent and bear fruit in keeping with your repentance, in other words, prove it, prove that you're repentant, to look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look, there he is. From the law to the gospel, pointing away from himself now and making a big deal about it. And it has a profound effect, not just on John, but on all those who are around John, hearing his change in his sermon. Behold the Lamb of God. You see, in our text today, the Apostle John, as he's writing, doesn't tell us much about who's around him, who's around John the Baptist. I mean, we can presume that maybe some Pharisees were around. We know that some Pharisees sent some priests and some Levites to ask John the Baptist who he was. That's what happens right before. So you have some priests and some Levites. Certainly some crowd is gathered around to hear. And you also have some of John the Baptist's disciples. All these people are around. And John begins to preach. It's on verse 35, is the next day. Again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he said, look, behold, look. That's what behold means. Look at here. That's what my Hebrew professor said. Take notice. Look, the Lamb of God. And what did his disciples do? They followed. The gospel grabs them. It takes hold of their heart and their mind and their imagination, and they look at Jesus and they connect the old with the new, and there he is, the Lamb of God. They hear the gospel, the good news. The Messiah is finally here. There he is. And they follow. They drop everything, don't they? We're going to hear more about this next week, because Matthew is going to talk about the calling of some of the disciples. And this is what Paul is talking about in the epistle reading. Three times Paul says in your epistle reading, in nine verses, the calling. He uses this word, the calling. And that is what it is. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God calling you to himself by the Word of God. The Word of God. It goes out from John the Baptist's mouth into his disciples' ears, and they see and they hear and they believe and they follow. And this is what happened to you. You heard the gospel, the same gospel. You heard the same Word of God that John is speaking. And you saw in your heart, in your mind, and you believed the good news that no longer is the wrath of God to come, but the Lamb, the Messiah, the Savior, your Lord, has come to take away the sins of the world, not just the Jews, but you, Gentiles, all of the world are included in this. It's universalis. It applies to you and all people. This good news, the grace of God. And that's how God works. From that day by the river Jordan in Israel to this day, the Word of God goes out and the Spirit of God is attached to it, and it enlivens in you every day the faith and hope and peace and comfort, because the forgiveness of sins is attached to those, and you need it every day, don't you? And I do. I need to hear those words, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, every day, because I'm so prone to sin and so prone to push away and to turn away, to despise the things of God and His holy word. And Paul makes a big deal about this in Romans, about the human condition and the work that God has done in Jesus to save all people, Jew and Gentile alike, and that there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. And then he says in chapter 10 that this kind of faith that we're seeing here in the disciples of John comes by hearing the word, and it's proof. Comes by hearing the holy word. And comes to all people. And I have a bunch of Bible verses that I want you to hear. Well, because it's the Word of God, and this is good. But how great is the love of God, and who is included in this? Well, it's all people. And that's partly what Epiphany is about. It's the Gentiles and the Jews. It's grace and forgiveness and salvation for all of you, good, bad, high, low, humble, exalted, all people, to receive the grace and mercy of God. For this reason, Christ has commanded that repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. John chapter 3, you recognize that. Christ bore the sins of the world, John chapter 1. He gave his flesh for the life of the world, John chapter 6. His blood is the propitiation for the sins of the world, 1 John chapter 1. Christ says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are weary, heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew chapter 11. God hath concluded, God has put all in unbelief so that he might have mercy on all. That's Romans chapter 11. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, life, and salvation. 2 Peter chapter 3. The same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Romans chapter 10. The righteousness of God, which is by faith in Christ unto all, come to all that believe. Romans chapter 3. This is the will of him who sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son of Man and believes may have everlasting life. John chapter 6. Can you believe? This is just the New Testament. This is just the Gospel of John and Romans. Just two books over and over and over again, you see evidence of the preaching of John, how it has changed from law to gospel. And the fruit of the gospel is faith and life and following, trusting in him. Now, also embedded in this story is the belief and the faith of the Pharisees and those disciples who gather around Jesus to hear his word and his teaching. It's not all rainbows and unicorns. Just because you hear the word of God and the Spirit is at work doesn't mean instant salvation, does it? Because many walk away. In John chapter 6, Jesus' own disciples struggle with the very fact that he says, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." And John says many of his disciples walked away. The Pharisees themselves, they know the prophecies. They know the story of the Messiah to come and what he would be like and what he would do and what he would teach. And still, their heart is hard. Their necks are stubborn. They despise John's preaching. They despise Jesus' preaching. They despise the word of God and reject it. One example of this is the third commandment. I've been asking a lot of commandment questions today. You remember the third commandment? Remember the Sabbath day? I should have said the wrong one because everybody was nodding and then I would have... That's a dirty trick. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Well, Jesus is the Sabbath, so what does this mean? Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Well, Dr. Luther, as he's explaining what this means, he says that we're to set aside a day where we come together and gather around the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God, and the place where Christ is in his gifts, that is, the font and the table, the altar. We're to come and we're to gladly hear it and learn it. And we should fear and love God so that we can do these things. And instead, what you'll be prone to do, he says, is to despise it and to not find time for it. And so you see here, John the Baptist's disciples and the Pharisees and the crowd around, these two pitted against each other. They hear the gospel, the good news of their forgiveness, life, and salvation, that Jesus is that, the Messiah, and they don't want to hear it. They despise it. They're not interested in it. They don't have time for it. It's not fitting into their worldview and ideology. What they desire is more important, and they reject the Word of God. And then there's the the disciples of John the Baptist. And they hear the most beautiful thing they could ever hear. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who takes away my sin. And they cling to it, and their hearts rejoice, and they follow him. Where are you going? They ask. Can we come? And they invite themselves into Jesus' house. Did you catch that? Christ comes. He has come into the world. Emmanuel, God with us, to bring forgiveness, life, and salvation, to take it away. Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so he, Jesus, will remove our sins from us. In his gifts that he has given, he brings these things to you. And today, in just a few moments, the Agnus Dei, the Lamb of God himself will be here, and he'll be in your mouth and on your lips for the forgiveness of sins. It can't get any better than that. So believe it. Hear it. Believe it. Taste it. Believe it. He comes to bring you these things Sunday after Sunday, day after day. So that when you repent, forgiveness is there, and you can have certainty about it. You can hear it. You can love the Lord and love his word. You can hear it, learn it, and follow. In Jesus' name, amen.